Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. This week is the second story inspired by the three winning story starters out of a contest that I ran on my Facebook group. So this one was another runner-up and inspired by Rob Stock. Before we jump into this week's episode, the podcast is sponsored by Orange Hat Film Productions. They're a very talented group of people creating original indie films and content. There's a bunch of stuff you can check out at their website for free at orangehatfilmproductions.com, including shorts, music videos, documentaries, and more. And they've also recently begun production on one of my stories, The Door in the Woods, and they'll be adapting that into their next project. So if you want any more information or to check out some of their other content, please go check out Orange Hat Film Productions at their website, orangehatfilmproductions.com, or at any of their other social media handles if you just search Orange Hat Film Productions on Facebook or Instagram. Without any further ado, here we go. The house always seemed innocent enough. People went in, people came out, and they were always smiling. Always. The house was right across the street from her own, tucked away in a quiet part of the suburbs. Otherwise, she probably wouldn't have ever noticed the seemingly innocent house and the seemingly innocent people that came in and out. Once she did, however, she couldn't stop thinking about it. Why couldn't she stop thinking about it?
It is weird, right? Just agree with me that it's weird.
Without looking up from his phone, her husband replied from his recliner.
We've been through this, honey. Yes, it's weird. So is you staring and wondering about it all the time. Let it go. It's not our business.
Well, maybe it should be our business. Maybe they're selling drugs,
she said as if having an epiphany.
They aren't selling drugs, honey. Or having orgies. And I highly doubt it's a cult with an HQ in our neighborhood. Just let it go.
She closed the blinds that she so often peeked from, the ones overlooking the street and the house, and walked away with a pout. She went to the bathroom where she looked at herself in the mirror. She didn't hate the way she looked, but she didn't love it. She tried smiling, like the people that always left that house, and hated the way that looked even more. Her smile was crooked and her teeth yellowed from years of neglect. She never smiled with her teeth if she could help it. And yet, right across the street, every single day, it was like the greatest fucking dentist that ever lived resided there, running a secret practice where they not only fixed people's teeth, but self-esteem as well.
Come on,
she mumbled to herself angrily in the mirror.
Nobody just walks around smiling. What the fuck does anyone have to be so happy about?
And so she laid awake in bed that night, unable to let her mind wander, obsessively focused on the house across the street. When she was sure her husband was asleep, she could tell by the way he was snoring, she crept out of the bed and went downstairs, where she opened the blinds and looked out at the house. It was silent, as were all the houses on the street at this hour. She didn't know what she expected to see. Perhaps a van smuggling piles of cocaine into the garage. But there was nothing. She went back to bed where she tossed and turned before eventually falling asleep. She had dreams of people with large, insane-looking grins on their faces. Though they should have frightened her, they didn't. She was jealous and wanted to be one of them. When her husband left for work the next morning, she got herself ready and decided to visit the house. She would whip up a quick casserole as an excuse and bring it over in a friendly, welcome to the neighborhood gesture. Hopefully that would get her inside the house. Then her curiosity would be satiated, at the very least. She put on a yellow sundress and red flats, grabbed her casserole, and walked out of her house. She looked both ways across the quiet suburban street before crossing over with her head held high. As she began walking up the front path towards the house, a tall man with short dark hair exited through the front door with a large smile on his face.
Oh, hello there,
he said, stopping briefly, the smile not leaving his face. She was going to ask him a question, but before she could get a word out, he said, Okay, goodbye. She watched him walk off, puzzled.
Something was going on here, whether her dunce of a husband could see it or not. She walked to the door and knocked gently 3 times. She waited, not hearing any noise from inside the house. Above the front door was a large 42 in what she assumed was some kind of LED strips. It was almost hypnotizing how bright the red was, as if she was looking at it during the night, not the sun-soaked early afternoon. She was so mesmerized by the bright red 42 that she didn't even notice that the door had opened. There was, however, nobody standing in the doorway.
"Hello?"
she called gently into the house. And she listened briefly, poking her head in, but couldn't hear anything. Her curiosity now reaching new levels of intensity, she walked through the doorway and into the front hall, oblivious to the fact that the door closed silently behind her. The house seemed as innocent on the inside as it did on the outside, and she was no closer to discovering the source of people's happiness when leaving. A wave of frustration shook through her as she continued along the front hall, passing an empty kitchen and a stairwell.
"Hello?"
she cried out, now visibly agitated. "Oh, hello there!" a chipper voice said from behind her, and she let out a small scream, dropping the casserole to the ground with a large and messy crash. She spun around and was face to face with an average-looking man with a gigantic grin.
"You scared the hell out of me!"
"I do apologize for that. Most visitors here are expected. You were not." The man's smile was more than unnerving. His wide, bright eyes almost more so. She wasn't sure if he had blinked yet.
"Visitors? What do you mean? What is this place? I live across the street, you see, and I have noticed suspicious things going on, and—"
"Across the street, you say? Suspicious? How so?" He said all this with the same, almost robotic happiness as before, but his smile faltered at one side, and she could see a bead of sweat making its way down his forehead. This emboldened her.
"Something is going on here!"
"Please, calm down," the man said. His smile had returned to full force, but his eyes shifted around uncomfortably. "You don't quite understand."
"I am not leaving until you explain to me why people leave this house smiling the way they do."
"You're going to wish you did leave," the man said in a tone that was still chipper, but with a hint of sadness to it.
"You threatening me?"
she screeched at the man. "I'm sorry, I really am. You shouldn't have come uninvited."
"Excuse me! I should call the cops and tell them.
She started to trail off, suddenly unable to finish her thought. Her vision swam and she watched the man double and then triple before things went dark and everything faded but his smile, which hovered like the Cheshire Cat's before she fell to the floor, unconscious. She awoke groggily, strapped to an uncomfortable slab of metal with crisscrossing wires and buckles. She couldn't move any part of her body, and all she could see was a gigantic overhead light that was nearly blinding.
"She is awake."
"She wasn't scheduled, but we shouldn't be surprised that more people are being drawn towards us."
"Not at all. We knew this would happen, and we are prepared."
She tries to scream, but can't. She tries to move and fight free, but feels paralyzed. Her eyes dart around, panicked and pleading, but whoever was in the room ignored her and continued. "She said she lives across the street."
"I heard."
"Should I take her for myself, then?"
"That might be for the best."
She felt the sharp push against one side of her skull and heard a loud whirring noise and a squelch before everything faded away one last time. She exits the house with a gorgeous, wide smile and begins walking slowly back towards her own place. She sees a young girl ride by on her bicycle and says pleasantly,
"Oh, hello there."
The girl starts to bike a little faster, unnerved by the wide eyes and mad grin of the lady in the yellow sundress. She walks in the door to her house to find her husband home from work, in his usual spot on the recliner.
"Where were you?"
he asked without looking up to see that his wife was sporting a brand new smile.
"I was at the neighbor's. They're lovely people, after all."
"Yeah, that's great, honey."
"They offered to host for supper tonight. Will you come?"
Entrapped somewhere in the recess of her own mind, she tried to scream, but nothing came out. She wasn't in control anymore. It was no longer her body. They were piloting her, and she was trapped and helpless to do anything but watch. These body snatchers would continue to spread, and who would fight with an army of positivity and smiles? How many houses like the one that drew her in were scattered about the country? She screamed as the thing in her body continued to talk through a wide smile to her husband.
"Yeah, sure. As long as they aren't weirdos," he said, getting to his feet.
He was mildly disturbed when, putting his phone in his pocket, he finally saw his wife's face and her new smile.
"Oh, dear. I think you'll like them. They're very powerful people. They might just end up ruling the world one day."
The end. And that's it. Thank you everybody so much for listening. Again, that was the second story inspired by the three winners of my Facebook contest. That one was inspired by Rob Stock. So thank you everybody so much again for listening and any and all support. If you haven't yet, consider leaving a rating on whatever platform you're listening on. Don't forget to subscribe and even share the story around if you like it. I should be back next week with another story. Until then, have a good one.